the world is never going to have that mind, are they? Because they don't have that kind of heart. So I understand that's the way it's going to be with them. But how about with us? How about with God's people? There's never been a reason for us to not be thankful. Now, there may have been circumstances in our life that clouded our thinking for a while and overpowered everything else, and I understand that. But what God has done for us is eternal. Amen. Nothing's going to ever undo it.
Right.
Nothing can separate us from it.
Amen.
And so what we have in the Lord is something that we can be eternally thankful for. All right? So that means to me, in my simple way of thinking, that means that every day we live, we've got something to be thankful for. It's up to us to exercise that thankfulness. And I suspect that you know that if you've gone through periods of time when you haven't been thankful, it doesn't bode well spiritually. It's just at the heart of where we need to be as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for mercy and grace, and which includes blessings. You know, Satan has a bag of tools that he loves to use against us. Discouragement, doubt, all kinds of things, fear, all kinds of things like that. But you know what? The Christian also has a bag of tools. And the more we use them, the better off we'll be. Now, here's the instruction book on how to use them. Here's the list on what they are. I may touch on a few of them, but God's word is a thorough furnisher, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, 3:17. All scripture given by inspiration, and it's profitable. It'll do you good for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you think being thankful is a good work? I do. Do you think being helpful and kind and gracious and merciful to others is a good work? I do. There's all kinds of good things that we can do, and this word teaches us how to go about it. Now, I said how to go about it, not just what to do, but how to go about it, because thankfulness is what flavors everything we do. Do you think a person that's thankful for their blessings and thankful to God and thankful for their mercy that's been bestowed upon them, do you think what they do will have a little bit more love in it? I do. So when we leave off thankfulness, it affects everything we do. As a matter of fact, it shows. It shows. And so what we want to show to the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. What we want to show to the world is the love that God has for us, and we want to show that love to others. They may not appreciate it, but it's our job to show it. God didn't wait for you to be loving for him to love you, right? God didn't wait for you to ask for forgiveness before he sent his son to this world. So we find that God shows us. He has given us the example of acting first. We love him because what?
He first.
You've read that already. He first loved us. And oh, how he loved us. He loved us so much that he gave the very best that he had for us who are ruined and spiritually bankrupt sinners. He gave. God so loved the world that he offered. God so loved the world that he gave. his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you thankful for that this morning? Were you thankful for that yesterday? Will you be thankful for that tomorrow and the next and the next until Jesus comes again? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of that thankfulness that we're to have. All right? So God has given us some tools. Showing mercy to others, being kind, being gracious. There's all kinds of things that God has told us in his word and shown us in what he has done that helps us to be well equipped to live the kind of life we should before God, showing forth his love to others. Those tools that he's given us, we need to be using them regularly and correctly. And primarily today, we want to focus on thankfulness. Well, preacher, how can you use thankfulness incorrectly? I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I can tell you the passage, and you probably recognize it's the lesson the Lord's taught concerning the prayer of the Pharisee and the publican. Do you remember that? What was the purpose of that lesson, by the way? He told you. You remember the lesson, but do you remember the lesson? You remember the passage, but do you remember the lesson? When we read our Bibles, are we just going through and making sure we've satisfied this requirement and that requirement, or are we wanting to learn what it's teaching us? There's a difference, isn't there? And you've done both. I know that because I've done both. Sometimes we feel like we're in a hurry, and maybe we just feel like I just need to read a little bit, and whatever reading we did, maybe it did you some good, maybe it didn't. I encourage you to go ahead and do it. You never know what nugget God has for you. It may be a familiar passage you've known all your life or most of your life. And God can just shine the light on that and give you a special application of that nugget of truth that you hadn't really focused on in the past. And a lot of times it's because of life's experiences cause us to see things differently than we did before. All right? So when we think about, okay, I hope you found Luke 18 by now. I'll begin in verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And we're talking about thankfulness and using it correctly. I think that's a good lesson. I think it's something that we need to bear in mind and keep in our remembrance so that we're not guilty of going through the motions and not actually accomplishing what the Lord has for us. All right? So Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he, Jesus, and he spake this parable unto certain, here's your lesson, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Wow. If you just focus on the purpose of this parable, how can somebody think they're righteous when they're despising someone else? That's the deceitfulness of self-righteousness. That's the deceitfulness of being religious, if you will. Religion is anything you practice on a regular basis. Anything. Any religion you want to find, you can just about find it. And folks, when folks don't find what they're looking for, they start it themselves. Right? That's why we got churches on every street corner, seems like. Okay? All right, let's get back to the lesson. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So he says, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, the other, a publican. Now, you understand, the publicans, some of the reasons they were hated is because they were tax collectors. That in itself is enough, isn't it? All right? But these were, usually, they were Jews, but they were collecting taxes for another government. So there was, you know, there was that. All right, but anyway, the Pharisees. Jesus denounced the Pharisees more than any other group because of their self-righteousness. All right, so you see, the Pharisee and the publican, one that's despised, one that's self-righteous. They're both going to offer a prayer. And they're both going to, well, one of them is going to say, I thank thee, O Lord. But listen to what he says. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Wow. What a start. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. How's that prayer? We know a lot about him, don't we? As a matter of fact, we know a lot about him. Okay? I. Lord, this is what I've done. You know, if somebody wants to tell me about the goodness and mercy of God, that God has shown them and has blessed them in so many ways, I've got plenty of time to listen to somebody tell me that. But you start saying how much you've done for the Lord, I get tired of that real quick. Now, I appreciate good works. But we're to do our good works not to be seen, but for the glory of God, to let our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. All right? So we see here, here's a man that said, I thank thee. But how sincere and how well did he use this tool of thankfulness? The only one it benefited was himself. It made him feel better about himself. But it sure didn't give any glory to God. It sure didn't convey any humbleness. And he says, I thank thee. Okay. Let's continue with the lesson. And the publican. By the way, they were often despised. And the publican, and perhaps some of them, by the way, perhaps some of them deserved it. That's very possible. But you see, this man already has been judgmental. Okay? Putting labels on people. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. How often did he fast? I don't know. How often did he pay his tithes? I don't know. That wasn't the issue. He understood he was a sinner. He understood his need for mercy. He didn't have to acquaint God with anything he had done. God already knows it. I wonder sometimes how many people hesitate in their prayers because they think they're going to tell God something he doesn't know. He already knows. It's for our benefit. When we confess our sins, see, this man said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." He was aware that he was a sinner. He was aware of his need for mercy. And he humbly came to God in prayer, asking for mercy. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. Now, stop and think about it. You're familiar with this passage. What kind of a prayer is that? He didn't say a whole lot, did he? You know, when I hear prayers, I'm not listening for eloquence. I'm not listening for information. I'm listening for humility. I'm listening for sincere unburdening of the heart, asking. Elder Ferris used to talk about being a poor beggar at mercy's door. You feel that way? Now, we're rich in Christ. But it's the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When we think about the prayer that this man offered, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," that says so much about what he knows. He knows he's a sinner. He knows he needs mercy, and he knows where to get it. God is the only one that can grant us that mercy that we need. He's the only Savior. He's the only one to whom we can go to pour out our hearts, and it doesn't have to be in public. You know, if you have trouble sleeping sometime, the best medicine I could recommend is prayer. Prayer. I'm not saying it'll put you to sleep the fastest. I'm just saying it's the best thing you can do. Pray. It'll bring peace to your soul. And quite often, that's what we need, is peace to our soul. And so this man said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And listen to what Jesus said about these prayers. Did he commend the Pharisee for his magnificence? Did he? I guess I missed that part. It's not there. Jesus continues the lesson by saying, "I tell you, this man," which one? The publican. Not the Republican. Publican. Okay? "I tell you, this man went down to his house feeling better? Probably. I think we can draw that from the lesson, can't we? He felt better. Why? Well, let's see. The scripture says, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, didn't he say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, preacher, I thought that the blood of Jesus did that. Yes, it did. But this is a matter of conscience. Forgiveness is for now. When we realize that we've sinned, and we sin every day, when we realize that we're a sinner, we need to come to God and confess. You know, the word confess means to say the same thing, to say with your mouth what you're feeling in your heart. When you feel that conviction of your sins, It's time to confess. And like the brother said one time, keep the account short. Don't let it go a long time. We need to confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He's talking about a matter of conscience. Jesus did put away our sins, all of our sins, but we're still sinners. We still come before him, and we still have this old fallen nature that we have to contend with every day. The flesh lusting against the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary the one to the other, Paul said to the Galatian brethren. So when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. So Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified. That's why he felt better. The spirit within him witnessed to the righteousness of his prayer. And he felt from within. See, not just from his head, but from within, he felt that forgiveness. When we approach God as we should and confess our sins, when we use thankfulness in the right way, bless your hearts, then we feel that forgiveness within us. All right? And so here's the takeaway from the lesson. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself when I said the takeaway. Here's another point. The publican went down to his house justified, but the Pharisee did not. Here's your takeaway. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Isn't that good to remember? We humble ourselves before God. He'll lift us up. All right? So when we think about this principle of being thankful. Now, the publican didn't use the word thankful, but the Pharisee did. He said he was, but he didn't go down to his house justified. But the publican did. Because he approached God the way he should. He was thankful. And so, the takeaway there, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, that Pharisee showed himself to be a pro at checking off the boxes from the, I'm going to call it the I be good list. You know, we can get religious sometimes and we can start making sure we do this and do this and do this. But bless your hearts, when we walk humbly before our Lord, we're following the leadership of his Spirit. He leads us to do what we need to do. And when we're thankful like we should be and enjoy the blessings from God and enjoy thanking him for those blessings every day, then I tell you, it just puts wind in your sails, doesn't it? It lifts your spirits. It helps you to face the situations in life the way you need to. Because I said earlier, a thankful heart flavors everything we do so that what we do has more love in it. Because I'm gonna make thankfulness associated very closely to love. Okay? Because when God puts his love in our heart, and when we show that love back to him, oftentimes it's in the way of thankfulness. Being thankful for the mercy God has upon us. And so, what we do is influenced by the kind of heart we have when we do it. Right? And so when we think about being thankful at all times, you know, I mean, there's times when I suspect there's times when you've done things that you know, well, like church attendance. Let's just use that. Have you ever done that out of duty instead of out of a willing and happy heart to go and worship the Lord? It happens. And so, you know, leaving off thankfulness might have something to do with how we feel toward those things. All right? So it's not necessarily what we're doing, but how we go about doing them. You know, it was good for the Pharisee to thank the Lord. It was good for him to fast. It was good for him to give tithes. All those things were good things. But how he went about it made a difference. There was self-righteousness in what he said. He was trusting in himself, and that just muddied the water, didn't it? Because it's God's mercy and God's grace that we come to him and thank him for those things, and we do those things in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Remember in Matthew 23, if you remember Matthew 23, you know that here's one of the most scathing rebukes that Jesus gave to the Pharisees. But I want to notice this, because like I said, fasting was a good thing. The things that the Pharisee did, the fasting, thanking God is a good thing. Fasting is a good thing. Giving of tithes is a good thing. All those things were good things, but how he was going about it is what made the difference. All right? Listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 23:23. That's easy to remember, isn't it? Jesus said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." One thing we don't want to be is a hypocrite. There's just all kinds of problems with that, okay? For ye pay tithe. Remember what the Pharisee said in his prayer? Ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted, listen, those were good things, but they have omitted the weightier matters of the law. And he goes on to tell us what those weightier matters are. Judgment. Well, the Pharisee was judgmental, wasn't he? No, I didn't say judgmental. Judgment. The right kind of judgment. We're to judge righteous judgment. If there's a verse of scripture that some people know, it's judge not lest ye be judged. Don't judge me, right? It's what you hear from the world. Well, we are to judge righteous judgment. Principles of righteousness, we need to stand upon those things. All right? We need to be kind and gracious. But he's saying here, the weightier matters of the law. So how much does it cost you to judge righteously? You might say nothing. But I'm going to tell you, it does cost you something. You got to deny self. You got to get self out of the picture first and humble ourselves before God and seek his will and what he would have us to do in this life and follow his way. And it seems that there's a lot of folks that's not willing to deny self. Do you think? We encounter that principle elsewhere, don't we? And we've preached about that a lot. If any man will come after me, Jesus said. Remember the first principle that he gives us for discipleship? The first requirement? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We've got to get ourself out of the way and get our eyes on the Lord if we're going to serve him the way we should. But that Pharisee was self-righteous. He was thinking about himself. All right? They were doing some good things, but they left off the weightier matters of the law. And the first thing Jesus said was judgment. Then he says, mercy. Mercy. How much mercy was that Pharisee showing toward the publican? I didn't hear any. He said, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I didn't eat, especially this publican here, in my words. No. One of the weightier matters of the law is to know something about mercy. To apply mercy to our activities. Flavor your activities with the mercy of God. Be mindful of the mercy that God has shown to us. Remember in Ephesians when he talks about to be kind, tenderhearted. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Why should we be merciful to others? Because God has been merciful to us. And we want to be like him. So we want to show mercy. And so one of the weightier matters of the law, one of those heavier principles, one of those things that we don't get to as often as the other things, is mercy. Showing mercy. So many times, we want what's good for number one. It's okay to be good in what we do, and it's okay to do a good job of what we do. It's okay to be diligent and all of that, but flavor it with the righteousness of God, with mercy and kindness and a forgiving attitude. The weightier matters of the law. So he said, mercy, faith, I'm sorry, judgment, mercy, and faith. Wow. Faith. Jesus said that's one of the weightier matters of the law. What we should do should be done of faith. In a way that's pleasing to the Lord. If it's consistent with the teachings of Scripture, it's according to the faith. Because this body of truth, we refer to it as the faith. And when we're following that, we're walking by faith. When we're trusting God and looking to Him, humbling ourselves before Him, seeking His guidance, then we're living by faith. When we're seeking self, when we're looking for what we want and not interested in what God would have us to do, that's not of faith. That's what we call selfishness, right? Okay, you know these things, but it's good for us to talk about them sometimes. It's good for us to lay it out here and examine these things. The weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus goes on to say, these ought ye to have done. What are these? The tithes. The, let me go back to the Pharisee. The fasting, this tithe that he had given. Those were good things. He says, these ought ye to have done and not to leave the other judgment, mercy, faith, not to leave the other undone. If we're going to walk before the Lord in a way that's pleasing in His sight, then we need to remember those weightier matters of the law. All right? Thankfulness. Being thankful to God. It helps us to be more humble. When we realize and remember all that God has done for us, all that He provides for us, the hope that we have in Him, the hope that we have for each day. You know, when I speak of hope, I'm not just talking about heaven. Most of us here are in pretty good condition, good health, so we've got a few days left. We never know, do we? Okay? But what I'm getting at is this. We have hope for tomorrow. We have hope for this afternoon. We have hope for next week. Because God is on his throne. There's a lot of things going on in the world today that I wish were different. But there's one thing I'm glad is not different. And that's the faithfulness of our God. That's the power of our God. That's the all-encompassing wisdom of our God. He knows what we need. All right? He doesn't operate on our timetable. We get caught up on our timetable sometimes. But let's just trust that God knows. Now, you balance that with the fact that James tells us we have not because we ask not. All right? So we need wisdom and to know how we need to be asking. You know, with the things going on in the world today, my praying has changed a little bit. I used to be real specific about things that I wanted to ask the Lord for. I'm not quite as specific as I used to be because I don't have the answers. I don't know what we need, but God does. I can look in the Old Testament and I can see some wicked kings that God raised up, sometimes to carry his people away captive, sometimes to do other things, but I see that God has a bigger picture than mine. And I can rest in his love. I can rest in his faithfulness. I can rest in the fact that he knows what he's doing. And so, we major more on, Lord, your will be done, not mine. But we do have specific needs. We do see specific things that we can ask for, and that's fine. But we need to remember, God knows what he's doing. And his timetable is not always ours. As a matter of fact, it's not usually ours, is it? Okay, but he knows what he's doing. All right, before we run out of time here, I want to notice another aspect of faithfulness. Thankfulness. Do you remember? Let's go to Luke 17. Luke 17. There were 10 lepers as Jesus was going about in his ministry. Remember that? You know where we're going with this. When we're talking about thankfulness. I'm going to begin reading in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Isn't it interesting that Jesus did a lot of things in Samaria? The Jews didn't think much of the Samaritans. They thought they were half-breeds. They thought they were less than human. All right. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Well, if you know your Bible, you know that if somebody had leprosy, when they got it, they had to be off to themselves. Or they'd infect somebody else. And when somebody got close, they had to cry unclean. They had to give warning to somebody else not to get close to them because they were a leper. Can you imagine the shame, the isolation that these men, now if they were lepers, they could be among themselves. Think about it. And so these men cry out to Jesus. They lifted up their voices and said, Master, cleanse us. Well, what they said was, have mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy on us. Let me see. With this lesson, we're going to go to the idea of thankfulness, but that's not mentioned up front. And when Jesus taught the lesson about the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee claimed to thank God. But the other man was the one that went down to his house justified. And what did he say? Have mercy upon me, a sinner. You see a connection of humility, of asking, of recognizing we need mercy. We need God. Do you see a connection between that and thankfulness? But it's not automatic, is it? And that's what I want to bring out here. It's not automatic. You would think that anybody to whom God had shown mercy would be thankful. Wouldn't you think that? Isn't that the right thing to do? Well, there were 10 of these men. They said, have mercy. They all asked for mercy. They all got mercy because they were all cleansed of their leprosy. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they did what the Lord said. They were cleansed. Hallelujah. What a blessing. They asked for mercy and they received it. And 9 of them, is that the next verse? But I can talk about 9 of them, can't I? Let's get to 1. One. One out of 10. If I remember my math correctly, that's 10%. Right? 10%. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, oh, it was evident. They asked for mercy. When they did what God said, Jesus said, they received it. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. That's the voice of thanksgiving. That's the voice of thankfulness. But it was only 1 out of 10 who received the same blessing. What if that had been you? What if you had been 1 of the 10? Would you have been the 1 in 10? Or would you have been among the 9? We would like to think, and I'm satisfied, many of us would, who know the mercy of God, who know our need of God, we can relate to that one because we thank him every day for our blessings. Can I share a personal experience with you? I guess I will. Sister Nancy and I was in a restaurant last week. And our custom is we get our food, we offer thanks before we eat. And there was a gentleman, an older man, across the way a little bit, and he was eating his food. When he got up to leave, he kind of came our direction, and there was a chair in the way, and I moved it out of his way, but he stopped. He said, I noticed that you bowed your head before your meal. I said, yes, sir, we do that. He said, you know, there was a survey that was done recently in restaurants. And they did it on Sunday afternoon. wonder why they did Sunday afternoon. I think they wanted to get the church going crowd. You know, preacher, hurry up. I got to get to the restaurant. I've been told that. They did their survey Sunday afternoon. Restaurants like a buffet and places like that where folks would typically gather after church. 4%. 4 out of 100 gave thanks before they ate. And not to pick on California, because I know there's a lot of good folks in California. When the abortion issue was on the ballot, it was all usually 50-50. So don't take this the wrong way, but they did look at California, and it was 1%. What if they did our town? What would the percentage be? Would we be 1%? Before we think about California, how about us? Thankfulness. It doesn't cost you a penny, but it does cost you some self-denial. It does cost you some self. 1 of the 10 lepers returned to glorify God. That's thankfulness. I'd like to think that we're in the 1%. Or 10%. Is it important to God? He took time in His precious word to give us these lessons. So, yes, it is important to God. Is it important to us? That's your homework. How's your faithfulness? How's your thankfulness? The Bible says that He daily loads us with benefits. And that is a true statement. We daily. Now, life may be hard. I don't doubt that. I mean, I know this. Life is hard sometimes. And life gets hard. And life stays hard for some folks. I get that. But I also know that God continues to be good to us, no matter what. So this week, you know, we're about to enter into getting closer to that Thanksgiving holiday. Do we need a holiday to remind us to be thankful? No, we don't. But you want to distinguish yourself as a Christian? Now, I don't mean in a self-righteous way, but being thankful. It's in short supply. It doesn't cost a penny. It doesn't take long. You don't need a crowd. You just need a humble heart to say thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. And let it never be named once among us that we've gone a whole day without thanking God for something. Thank God for His mercy, for the gift of His Son, for the forgiveness that we have through Jesus' blood, for the hope of heaven, the surety of heaven, and the security that we have in it. Romans chapter 8 ends up by saying, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God sent His Son. He gave His Son. And Jesus gave Himself to the Father as the sacrifice for our sins. Let us be thankful for that. If life is so hard that we have nothing else for which we can thank Him for the gift of His Son and heaven, which will be your home, that nobody can take away. And when we do that, we'll realize we've got plenty to be thankful for. Until then, may God help us just simply to be thankful for all that He has done, is doing, and will continue to do for us. May God bless you, is our prayer.